Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Once again in an empire state of mind. The best in the world won't be satisfied with anything other than conquering the concrete jungle. The Americans in action. Tay-Tay is so pumped into the third round.
Coco, 13-1 this summer. I think she can win this year's US Open.
How about Taylor Fritz? He's only lost 10 games.
Francis Tiafoe, he loves playing in the Big Apple.
Caroline Wozniacki, she came back after 3.5 years and 2 children. It's just an amazing story.
Wozniacki gets a huge upset, real validation match.
She's still a heck of a player.
It's hard to say. Novak Djokovic flying under the radar, but I mean, listen, this is the only major where he's never lost before the third round.
And just really awesome buttoned-up tennis. Every time I watch him, just continue to clap and enjoy it.
We've got your passport to all the action. TC Live leading you up to first ball, as always. Welcome to TC Live at the U.S. Open, our 2-hour pregame show to get you ready for first ball on this Friday. It is the start of a holiday weekend, and for many New Yorkers, that means heading to Long Island. But for those lucky enough, their long journey to a U.S. Open title is barely halfway done. And those players are on an island every single day. So who will survive and who will get an early vacation? Tommy Paul is first up inside Arthur Ashe Stadium, followed by a couple women on the comeback, Jen Brady and Caroline Wozniacki. The night session starts with Coco Gauff and ends with Novak Djokovic. Over on Louis Armstrong, Taylor Townsend can get back in the top 100 with a victory. Top seed Iga Swiatek faces her best friend on tour. And the top two American men go back to back. Francis Tiafoe ends the day session. Taylor Fritz kicks off the night with Elena Rybakina last up. Now, Tommy Paul with the shades on. Future so bright. Trying to reach the fourth round for the first time in New York City. Also, maybe break into the top 10. Hold him back. Taylor Townsend bringing that good energy onto site today. She's got a little double duty action, playing singles and mixed doubles with Ben Shelton. Team Tay-Tay coming on in as we welcome you into our studios. Steve Weissman back alongside a couple Grand Slam champions in Paul Anacone and Chanda Rubin, and of course, the journalist extraordinaire himself, John Wertheim. A lot to get to on this first Friday in New York City. We're entering the third round. What's on your mind, Paul?
No, I'm going to go a little retro this morning.
All right,
I like
nostalgic
it. Nostalgic this morning, watching some of my favorites play yesterday, Grigor Dimitrov and Andy Murray, right? The first, I think, two games, four.
Plus two?
That was about 34 minutes. It was a grind. And then to see my buddy Stan Wawrinka, 3 hours and 40 minutes, play Stan Wawrinka tennis. I tell you what, we talk about all the young folks, but it's tough to see the great oldies play so well, too.
That's a plus 35 demo. You had, we saw Taylor Townsend arriving. Remember back in the days when they said, oh, women's tennis, it's so boring. They just hug the baseline and hit serves and forehands. Boy, has women's tennis brought a lot of variety to bear recently, and that will be on great display today. This Muhova-Taylor Townsend match will be great fun for the tennis pure. You want to see volleying and angles and slicing and talent and athleticism. I think we don't talk about this enough. The women's game has so much variety these days, and this match is a great expression of that.
Yeah, John, you just took my whole thought there.
But That's what happens when we don't coordinate.
Yeah, guys. I was going to say, I got Louis Armstrong on my mind. That first matchup at 11, I mean, that's going to be a terrific battle. And just the contrasting styles. And not only that, but the stories that these players are coming in with. You think of Karolina Muhova, all the injuries she had. I mean, she's always been this incredible talent with every shot just about in the book. And she's on the comeback trail. and into the top 10 for the first time in her career this year. And then Taylor Townsend, of course, we know that story so well. She's already had tremendous success in doubles recently, but now doing it on the singles court, can she get a step further into the fourth round? It's going to be a tremendous battle.
I mean, both of you have the same thought. I mean, it's an important thought. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we got the battle of the Tennis Channel All-Stars today as well. Caroline Wozniacki and Jen Brady. Remember back in 2009 when Wozniacki lost in the final? She lost to a mom, Kim Clijsters. Now she's the mom. And, of course, she's got her daughter, Olivia, who is just dialed in and ready to go. Says she's obsessed with the game, asked to tag along at work, says, I want to be like you and play tennis. That's pretty cool to see.
It's amazing. That look, she is like, I'm not having it today. I'm not here for the nonsense.
She's got a Conti grip, though, doesn't she? If you look at...
A little continental grip. Yeah, she's ready to serve.
She's ready to volley.
Little for a little, go semi-western.
They can work with that.
Mom will get
Wait, serious point about that? I think it goes beyond tennis to athletes in general. Novak's talked about this. The ability to have your kid not just watch you, but appreciate what you're doing, that is such a motivation for so many athletes to keep playing. I don't know if we've ever spoken about that with Carolyn, but the fact that her daughter and son, too, they're going to get hit an age where not only can they see mom and pose for the photos, but they can actually, that's my mom down there, and really appreciate that. I think that's a big reason why a lot of parents keep playing sports, men and women.
We will break down that match later on TC Live. It is going to be a good one. But there was also a nice article that came out yesterday in the East Hampton Star about our own Paul Anacone.
Yes.
The headline, it's all been aces for Paul Anacone.
My friend John did another nice piece for me. Whenever I can stand next to a legend like that, you got to be pretty happy to be in her house, in her venue, and my buddy from East Hampton, John, came in. We had a nice chat, talked about some old times. So good talking to you, John. You stay healthy. And all my buddies in East Hampton, hello out
nice.
There.
We'll link that in the show notes. That's that's great.
I tweeted it out yesterday.
Thank you.
You know, got to give some love to our guy.
Much appreciated.
East Hampton
Can't
star.
Can't forget your roots.
That's right.
Right. Yep.
Back where it all began.
Love it.
We'll have highlights from Carlos Alcaraz coming up later on TC Live. A lot to get to today. All the match previews, all the big highlights. Top-ranked American Jesse Pegula looking to reach the third round for the third year in a row. Plus, 20 years after Andy Roddick raised the 2003 U.S. Open trophy, which American man can win it all now? And with college football season kicking off this week, see how Ohio State coach Ryan Day has used tennis to keep his mental health in check. Don't go anywhere. You're watching TC Live.
TC Live at the U.S. Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Point, the official racket sports retailer of the ATP Tour.
Chanda, John, Paul, and Steve back on TC Live, leading you up to first ball on the first Friday in New York City at the U.S. Open. John Lloyd Harris used to train for the clay season at the Ferrero Academy, hit with a 15-year-old Carlos Alcaraz, said he was already hitting the forehand way bigger than me and was like, this is problematic. The problems have gotten bigger 5 years later.
Yeah, this looked like a practice session with one player having bigger strokes than the other. Lloyd Harris, making a return from injury. Very nice player, but not in Carlo Alcaraz's league. And Carlos did not get through a first complete match in his first round. He gave the fans a good show. This was pretty much the Carlos show in the big house. This is the defending champion, the winner of the previous major. We got a sense why. Thursday got a little bit closer. Credit Harris for really deciding to go blow for blow and take some high-risk shots. Not a lot of reward to show for it, though.
So you're saying
Carlos, yeah, exactly. The third set was, you know what, I'm just loading up haymakers. Nice win for Carlos, and on he rolls.
Into the third round without dropping a set, faces Dan Evans next. But planned for the first time in 7 years, Andy Murray and Grigor Dimitrov produced a different result than usual, Chanda. It was Dimitrov playing real clean tennis.
Yeah, Dimitrov had to save match points in his first round, had to win it in a fifth set match tiebreak. He thought he might be a little sluggish, a little slow out there, but it was Andy Murray who was just behind often in this match, but he had some greatness on display. That was one of the moments for Andy Murray. in one of the longest games of the first set. They have another long one at 2-all. That first set was an hour and 12 minutes long, just about, and it was 6-3. But Dimitrov just continued that aggressive play inside the baseline, stepping in, using the forehand. He's got so many shots, a beautiful player to watch, and he put it all together perfectly against Murray, doing it off the backhand slice there, passing. And there was just nowhere for Murray to go to. He really struggled on second serves as well. And in the end, it was straight sets for Dimitrov.
He broke serve seven times, got his fourth win against Andy Murray. Alexander Zverev awaits in the third round. John Isner, he was the best American tennis player for most of Michael Moe's teenage years. And that would also be the case, Paul, for the first two sets of this match.
Yeah, I told you guys in the opening I was nostalgic yesterday, and this was the king of nostalgia for me, watching big John Isner go out there what turned out to be for his last singles match. Started off playing some great John Isner power tennis, used the big forehand. The serve is always on fire. But look at Michael Moe, really did a heck of a job after losing the first two sets. Didn't blink, hung in there, won the third and fourth set. And here we go into war zone time for John Isner. We've seen so many tie breaks, and I'll tell you what, right there, match point. And that was a sad one to see go against John Isner if you're in his camp. Off they go to the match tie break in the fifth set. And Michael Moe, he just did a heck of a job. That's a tough, tough solution to come up with against someone like this who could be their last match, someone you grew up watching. Great day for Michael Moe. Sad day for the big man. Thanks, John. Appreciate all your efforts.
Let's hear from John Isner one more time.
You know, this is why I've worked as hard as I have my whole life to, you know, play in atmospheres like this. And of course, I may not win them all, as we know, just like today, but to play in this crowd and in front of this crowd and have the support I had is pretty special. So thank you.
One more round of applause for the only John Isner.
Added 48 more aces yesterday to finish with a record 14,170 for his career. Incredible. That's a nice number to kind of finish at. The 16 career titles, got to 8 in the world, played 2 of the longest matches we have ever seen. And fate would have it that his career ends in a fifth set tiebreak. He says he wants to be remembered as a guy that was easy to get along with off court. Chanda, what do you think John Isner's lasting legacy is?
I think it's the consistency of his career, certainly. I mean, he had the big weapon, one of the best serves in tennis history, to be honest. But overall, it was the sum total of his game. He wasn't just a server. You know, he wasn't just a one-shot guy. He could really get into these extended rallies. He understood how to play to his strengths, especially deep in the teeth of matches. And you look at that consistency, top 20 for a decade, finishing inside the top 20. That is not easy to do. Top 10 multiple times in his career, and really carried the American flag, was such an example and such an inspiration for the young players we're seeing now coming up. It's a tremendous career and nice to see it end at the U.S. Open. You thought he might be able to make a little bit of a run, but Michael Moe, just a terrific match with everything that was on the line. But credit to John Isner.
I'd love to see him have a big tournament. It was a little bit of bittersweet to watch him lose, but in typical John Isner fashion, match tiebreak in the fifth set. I mean, the guy has done so much for American tennis. I mean, nearly 850 tiebreaks played, winning 60% of them. I mean, that's just incredible. Chanda, you talked about his 10 years in a row in the top 20. That is an amazing, amazing effort. This guy is one of the nicest guys that has ever laced it up on the courts. Everyone loves him in the locker room. Carefree, happy-go-lucky guy. We talk about his serve, but one of the most amazing things about John Isner's serve, as big as it is, he served nearly 70% first serves for his entire career. That is off the charts. I mean, sure, he is height-aided, but he has one of the cleanest, if not the cleanest, service motions and probably the greatest pure just serve that's ever played the game. So, John, congratulations. Have a great time with your family. You've earned it, and we're going to miss you.
for a guy who never won a major, probably not a Hall of Famer, this guy had an immense impact on the sport. I mean, he's going to no one's going to hit 14,000 plus aces. So that's one record he holds. He lost in the match tiebreak. Why are we playing match tiebreaks? In part because John Isner's had a big impact on tennis in that respect. Nobody's ever going to win a match 70-68 in the fifth set again. This guy holds two records that are never going to be touched. We talk a lot about the serve. That's the first thing you think of. But like Janice said, I mean, you don't get to be in the top 20 for more than a decade just with this bazooka hitting serves. I mean, there's professionalism. There's getting that body in shape. There's hanging from the baseline in rallies, as you say. This, I think, was as much as we know about John. He stands out literally kind of a sneaky good career. I mean, this is a guy who really contributed a lot to the sport.
Be proud.
Yeah, it's good career. Bordering on great. And we absolutely salute you, John, on that incredible career. One of the most loved guys on tour. Wish you all the best in retirement. More highlights on the women's side. Aryna Sabalenka in action. More winners than anyone on the WTA this year. Added nearly 30 more, Paul, against Jody Burrage.
Do I dare say that Jody faced a barrage of winners from Sabalenka yesterday?
See what you
is that
did there.
A little wordsmithing? Or
barrage against Burrage.
There
nice
you go. Explained. But I tell you what, Sabalenka once again showed us just how good she is when she gets a little bit of time and she can unleash the power of groundies. The big lead in the first set gave her some liberty to even get more aggressive. Look at the two-handed return there out of the left hip pocket. And as Sabalenka gets more confident, I think that is worrisome for the rest of the women's field. I think she was a little more nervous in the first match, seemed more free yesterday, and we saw it by the way she played 3-2 in a comprehensive offensive exhibition.
Asked about her power. She said, we got to ask my fitness coach. Too much weightlifting, maybe? Prakash is going to love to hear that. Jesse Pegula looking to reach the third round for the third straight year, facing one of the five remaining mothers in the draw, Chanda, Patricia Maria T.
Well, Jesse Pegula, she was unfazed by the struggles with nap time. She was like, I'm coming here. I'm going to take care of business. And she did that from the beginning. Pegula, so solid from the ground. But it was the way she moved the ball. Teague can be dangerous if she has time and if she can set up on balance. Pegula did not allow her to do that. Using the backhand to get forward inside the court. These are good moves that Pegula will need as she moves through the draw. But in the match last night, she was not troubled at all. Again, just a solid performance from Pegula. We're so used to saying that she's so consistent, but it's not easy to get it done match in and match out, and she continues her move forward.
Yeah, feeling comfortable inside that big stadium. 60th hard court win since last year. Sets up a third-round match with Elena Svitolina. Still to come, Daniil Medvedev has been the king of the hill, top of the heap in New York before, and he woke up today with some new history. We'll tell you about it next. Welcome back. A reminder to download the U.S. Open app to follow your favorite players, track the latest scores, stats, match highlights, player news, and much more. It is available in the App Store and Google Play Store. Back to the highlights from yesterday, 2021 champ Daniil Medvedev has his work night carry over into Friday morning, Paul, playing Christopher O'Connell.
He sure did. It was a late evening, and for Medvedev, he did what he usually does. First two set, great target player is Medvedev, the terrific movement. O'Connell does everything pretty well, nothing great. And Medvedev trying to get all his friends in New York on his side to start the tournament. And we know that that wasn't the way it was in the past. Likes a little bit of irreverence, does Daniil. But he got his irreverence in this third set. How about O'Connell just hanging in there, using some athleticism to steal the third set. But Medvedev gets the early break in the fourth, continues to play really well from the back of the court. And when Medvedev decides to come forward and does it like that from a position of strength, adds another element, which is really tough to deal with. So a terrific reset for Medvedev in the fourth. Just a couple words for some folks in the stands.
I think that was all about. Becomes the only man under 30 to get 250 hard court wins. Congratulations. Time for the Gems Life portion of our highlights. Unfortunately for them, only one would survive the second round, John. Gael Monfils playing Andre Rublev.
Yeah, spoiler, this was not the victorious member. Paul likes to say, don't serve more than 50% in a match. It's going to be hard to win. Guess what? 49% first serves for Gael. That was pretty much emblematic of how his day went. We thought this would be more of a competitive match. What do we say about players north of 35? It's really more than anything the consistency that can be elusive. And Gael, for the first 90 minutes or so of this match, really struggled, was broken early in both sets. Made things a little interesting in the third, found his range a little bit, got the crowd involved. The crowd wanted an opportunity to really rally behind him, but Rublev squelched that. Ran away with the fourth set, two breaks. This one, nice win for Rublev, a bit of a disappointment for Gael.
Third round for the fifth straight year for the Russian. Monfils will now have more time to watch his wife play, and in fact, during a changeover, Alina Svitolina actually asked the chair umpire if Monfils had started his match, said she was looking for some different energy, Chanda, against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
Yeah, Pavlyuchenkova got off to an excellent start. She's such a big hitter from the ground, and the forehand was working there, allowing Pavlyuchenkova to take that first set. But Svitolina, she battles. She doesn't go away. She's got the movement, the wheels around the court, and that keeps her in just about any match. And she's also getting more aggressive inside the court there, up at the net, using the drop shot. She got that second set tucked away, and on to a third they would go. Love these battles where players are so familiar with each other. The matchups go way back, but they are playing some of their best tennis. And in the end, it was an aggressive Svitolina, the ace on match point. It is a new day, and she moves through beautifully.
She does, and it's going to be a popcorn match in the next one against Jessie Pegula. Really looking forward to that one. I'm going to say it every time that Alina Svitolina wins, just how remarkable and superhuman her story is. The fact that she had a baby in October and is now back to 25 in the world, got to the quarterfinals of one major, the semifinals of another, and it's just like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, let's not forget, too. I mean, she played a Russian opponent yesterday. There was no handshake, a reminder. Her country was invaded and still is being invaded 18 months later. This has been a very happy yet traumatic. I mean, the swirl of emotions she must be overcoming to play this well, I think, is something we're not talking about enough.
Yeah, I just think for her to be able to manage all of that stuff, right, all the internal great personal things that have gone on in her life, plus the internal very difficult things, like you mentioned, John, how do you manage that and then focus on a tennis court under a microscope like this? And, oh, by the way, I think she's getting better, too. She's getting more offensive. She's learning and getting more comfortable coming forward to finish. She's doing so many things that have been amazing to me. She just continues just to bewilder me with her ability to juggle all this stuff.
It's incredible. I mean, think about it. She was in a boot as well, a couple of weeks ago? I mean, it's incredible what she's been able to do. And the mindset, that's what seems, you know, especially, noteworthy. She's aggressive. She's attacking forehands. She is aggressive with the footwork, looking to move in. I think that's very good things for her game.
All right, tomorrow we will break down that matchup against Jessie Pegula. Let's talk about some big matches going on today, starting with Coco Gauff and Elisa Mertens. John, Mertens has had to save multiple match points in both of her previous matches this tournament. What challenges does she present for Coco Gauff?
She's a very steady player. She's a veteran player. Clearly, there's some mental strength having won her first two matches, overcoming match point. I'm not sure she has the kill shots, the weapons to do much damage against Coco. Remember, that match was against Danielle Collins. I think Coco may have breathed a sigh of relief. Collins is a different type of opponent. They played twice before. Coco's won both. I think she's a pretty heavy fit. I don't think Elise Mertens will be saving match points for a third straight match, Steve.
All right.
Yeah, this will be the first time they're playing on the hard courts, and I think that's the best surface for Elisa Mertens. But, you know, Gauff, with the weapons that she's been deploying, how she's been playing, the mindset she's had, especially off the forehand, that's been a big weapon now for Gauff, and I think that will freeze Mertens a lot of times. Mertens is a great mover, you know, anticipates well, but it's not easy to defend against shots when you have a speedy opponent, plus they are keeping you a bit off balance. I think that's going to be the key for Gauff. It's going to be a tougher matchup for Mertens from that standpoint. But she's so solid. She's so experienced. So this isn't a match that Gauff can take for granted.
Coco going for her eighth straight win. Meantime, Novak Djokovic, he's only dropped 11 games in the first two rounds, taking on fellow Serbian Laszlo Jera. Last time they played, took a set off of Novak. What are the chances that could happen again today?
He could take a set.
He could take a set, but he's still going to come in second. He could take a set. And Novak has been locked in. I mean, it's been, he's so much fun to watch because he's so proficient and efficient. I mean, you just watch him play and the shot selection, the ability to defend and then turn it to offense so quickly. It's, it never ceases to amaze me how good he is at it and how comfortable he is. I think this is just too tough of a matchup. Over 3 out of 5 sets. 2 out of 3, maybe you get hot. 3 out of 5, unless Novak is not then I think it's all Novak Djokovic. All right,
3-time champ moving on. And then we got a couple players on the comeback. Caroline Wozniacki, Jen Brady. Real contrast in styles in this matchup, Chanda. So which one wins out? Is it Brady's power or is it Wozniacki's consistency?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the question with Jen Brady. Obviously, the power game, you know, she can hit winners from anywhere in the court. How consistently can she do it against a player in Wozniacki who moves so well and has seemed to just pick right up where she left off early 2020, or last tournament, before, you know, the last 3 events now that she's played. Brady playing her 4th event. I mean, both of these players facing different challenges, but I think they are playing in an inspired way for different reasons. And for Brady, she's got to bring the heat. She's got to serve well. She's got to look to step in and use those weapons, but still give herself margin. For Wozniacki, I mean, we know how well she can move, how well she can defend, but she also is doing a good job kind of transitioning from defense to offense. That's going to be key, and using her serve. That's a lot bigger weapon than we sometimes realize.
And it was a big weapon the other night. I mean, it's almost like when we're talking about Svitolina. It looks like Caroline's come back as a more offensive player. I think both players are thrilled to be here, and yet this is a real test. So is this a one-off, hey, I can beat a 2-time major champion in Petra Kvitova, or if you're Jen Brady, I can win a 3-set match? Or is this, whoa, I'm really into week 2 of a major. Can I back up a big win with another big win? I think whoever wins this match is really sort of resetting their entire set of expectations.
Yeah, 100%. It's a battle of the reset button, right? And what wins more efficiently, great offense or great defense in a reset button? That's going to be the challenge for Jen Brady. Can she hit through the defensive skills of Caroline Wozniacki? So for me, it's going to be about, again, offense versus defense. And because it's been a little bit for both of them, who plays the big points the best? So that's going to be fun to watch.
We always love a good contrast in styles. Brady Wozniacki. We'll have those highlights for you tomorrow here on TC Live. It's the four of us, as always, 9 a.m. Eastern, leading you up to first ball. ESPN noon Eastern. The night session begins at 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN2. More TC Live at the U.S. Open after a quick break. Back on TC Live at the U.S. Open, it is time for our TennisPoint.com gear spotlight. And we gear up for the great New York City major in the Adidas Men's U.S. Open Fall 2023 collection. The Adidas Barricade is a very stable shoe, especially during lateral movements. Plus, its Bounce 2.0 midsole provides increased durability. Then we've got the Adidas Ubersonic 4.1, big on breathability and speed. Plus, have the perfect balance of traction and durability. These Ubersonics are worn by none other than American number one Jessica Pegula. And there's a great variety of Adidas U.S. Open Fall Collection polos and shorts as well. So shop now with this QR code on your screen or at tennispoint.com for the Adidas Men's U.S. Open Fall 2023 collection. With that, Steve Weissman back in our studios. And John Isner's official last match came in doubles yesterday, and it became a double retirement as Jack Sock was also playing his final event. The two Americans, who both got to number 8 in the world, exiting together. Truly the end of an era in American men's tennis. For a look at today's forecast, here's Fox Weather.
Hey, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's AB Freeze. Here's today's U.S. Open forecast. Sunny and 77 in Queens, New York at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. You can stream Fox Weather on your favorite connected TV device, Samsung Plus TV, channel 1010.
Thanks so much, Amy. When we come back, how tennis has become a passion for the head football coach at Ohio State. From field goals to massive forehands, John Wertheim has a story you don't want to miss. How
intense is Ryan Day's relationship with tennis?
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ruben Anacone, Wertheim, and Weissman back on TC Live at the U.S. Open. Ohio State football coach Ryan Day and his third-ranked Buckeyes kick off the new season tomorrow against Big Ten foe Indiana. When he's not focused on football, Day is tackling a different sport, spending his free time off the field by hitting the court. John Wertheim explains in today's tennis story.
How intense is Ryan Day's relationship with tennis? How seriously does he take the sport?
Nice, yes!
Well, it can sometimes seem as though Day relaxes by spending his Saturdays on the sidelines overseeing one of the premier college football teams in the country. Ryan Day might be the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, one of the most prominent football jobs in America. But at the school's tennis facility, he is another player.
Nice!
Gratified by winners, and frustrated when his shots don't go precisely as directed.
I played a little bit growing up, tennis and swimming. There was a club there in Manchester, Hampshire, where I'm from. So I kind of got introduced to it at a young age, but football, basketball, and baseball were really kind of the main sports. And then during COVID is when, you know, I reached out to Ty and said, you don't mind if I stop by?
My name is Ty Tucker, and I'm the director of tennis here at Ohio State. Coach Day said, you know what, I used to hit the ball around and played some tennis, and I said, don't be scared to show up and show us what you have. You know, probably 3-4 weeks later, he showed up, and he's been here ever since.
Side to side, coach. Nice. Get those feet going. Yes, I like it. My tennis game, I think Ty would tell you, big forehand. Nice.
Big forehand, darn good serve.
Oh, that's an ace.
Probably still need to get in better shape. I start to wear down a little bit when I get tired.
Get around that ball. Come on, close. Don't let that ball drop lower than the net level. Nice.
Be a good game if you didn't have to move.
I love the competitiveness of it. You know, when you're competing against somebody, it's motivating.
Go play it nice. You're going to be on TV losing a game.
There's that fire in me that I just love to compete. And what a great sport to compete at.
Deuce.
That was it.
And it's a lot better than running on that treadmill. Ty's been great for me. I think one of the things being in Columbus and being head football coach at Ohio State is it can be isolating at times. And Ty's been unbelievable. First off, Ty is a huge football fan, always has been.
I have an open invitation to any practice I want to see, so I go. But I go to all the home football games, and he's always have tickets for me if I need them.
How do you rank your teams? You go,
Buckeye football's one, then the Reds are just close.
Yeah.
And then the Bengals and Ohio State tennis are three. There's nothing bigger than Ohio State football. How's the team looking?
Be all right.
All right. No doubt.
Yeah, he's been a great support system for me, not just being able to come in every day and just hit balls, but just as a friend.
He's a busy, busy man with a huge job. But he comes out and supports the team. Every big match we play, he's usually here watching, and he'll talk to the guys. He gets it. He understands that, how important his position is and how much he can do to help every other team on campus.
Day has made mental health, both for himself and his players, a cornerstone of his coaching philosophy. For all its frustrations, he sees tennis as a mood elevator. He also sees it as a window into the mental side of competition.
Letting out some steam, for me during the season, it's really helpful. You have physical health and mental health, and certainly in the environment that I work in and the pressure that comes with it, having that outlet has been great.
Absolutely. It's a big stress reliever. He gets to come out here, yell at him a little bit. He runs around and, you know, hits the ball and gets a darn good sweat. But I think it's his fun part of the day.
That's good stuff. Thump it. Torp, get yourself some. To me, it's all about up here. It's the mental game. When you watch Wimbledon or the U.S. Open and just seeing the momentum swings that go on and being able to be composed enough to, you know, not let a bad day become a really bad day. And so I talk to my team all the time is on your great days, be elite. On your average days, be great. On your bad days, be average. And that mental edge, I think, in all of sports is what separates the really good from the elite.
Nitin Varma doing a great job producing that piece. On your great days, be elite. On your average days, be great. And on your bad days, be average. That's I'm ready to run through a wall right now. What do you think of that piece?
That's awesome. I mean, you see the passion and you hear it come out. And I just remember my days at University of Tennessee with the late, great Mike DePalmer Sr. as my coach. And all of the coaches used to come over and play a lot of times at the tennis courts. Jack Furtick, the assistant coach of the basketball with Don DeVoe, used to come over and play. They played passionate games with Coach DePalmer. Johnny Majors of football would come over and play. And you can hear it in that interview. Just the passion resonates. And it translates from one sport to another. Mm-hmm. And those themes are absolutely spot on. I love it.
Coco Gauff say something very similar. I think Ryan Day is lifting inspiration from Coco Gauff. She said something very similar after her first round. But no, I mean, we've all run into people from outside tennis that play the sport and they like it and it's a good workout and sometimes it's social. I don't know if I've ever met someone that prominent that plays tennis and is doing it for the mental health reasons. Mm. Ryan Day has some family history with mental health. He's very aware of it, very outspoken. And tennis is as much for him for the mind as a way of staying in shape or meeting his buddies.
I could not agree more with Ryan. Hitting a tennis ball for 3 hours, way better than the treadmill for 20 minutes. What did you make of his form, Chanda? How is his serve? How's his forehand, backhand?
He looked good, and I understood when he said, you know, it'd be great if you didn't have to move. I mean, yeah. We have all that idea at some point or another, but, I mean, his strokes are terrific. You can see the contact point. That's what I was looking at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Consistent contact point, forehand, backhand. I love the one-hander as well. You could see the base that he has in terms of playing the game, and that's always nice when you reach a level, a certain level of proficiency where you feel like you can get the most out of the sport. I mean, we, having played professionally, we're maybe going downhill,
uh-huh.
But everybody else, they have upside, and I think that's the fun part as well.
John, you're an Indiana guy. After this story, are you rooting for Ohio State this weekend against Indiana?
To kick off Big 18 play in the Big Ten? Right. No, I still want Indiana. Ten seconds, Ty Tucker, the man feeding balls, one of the great, great junior players in history. So we thank Ty Tucker as well, yep, for his cooperation.
Beat Andre Agassi, Michael Chang, yeah. Jim Courier, 9 national titles as, yep, a junior. I mean, Ty Tucker is like a junior legend, and he's doing a great job at The Ohio State University as well. Great story there, John. Much more still to come here on TC Live. Taylor Fritz, Francis Tiafoe, Tommy Paul, they are all vying to be the next American man to win a major. Our experts tell you who has the best chance to do it in New York City. Welcome back. We are leading up to first ball in New York, and USOpen.org is your online home for point-by-point live scoring, highlights, real-time stats, and draws. Visit the official tournament site at USOpen.org today. Well, tell me if you've heard this before. It is the 20-year anniversary of Andy Roddick winning the U.S. Open.
Drink!
The last American man to raise a major singles trophy. That's after winning 20 Grand Slam titles in the decade before. So the pressure mounts for today's young stars. Let's go inside the press room with Francis Tiafoe and Taylor Fritz.
Obviously, what Andy did in 03 was incredible. And I think nobody, I think we hear it more than he probably hears it, what he did in 03.
Andy's
Like, he's a great guy. We love him. And, yeah, we've all just been trying to be the next one to win a slam, because that's the legacy, really, is he's the last person to win a slam. It's been 20 years.
I mean, I think American tennis is a great place. Tommy Paul's winning great tennis. Fritz, myself, and you got Chris, Ben, Corda. I mean, I think American tennis is in a great place. I think it's a matter of time. I hope one of us are able to do it, and I hope when we do it, it's here at the Open.
That would be awesome. Since our guy, Andy, won it 2003, these are the closest that some Americans have come to raising a trophy at a major. Some names like John Isner, the big retirement Sam Querrey, Tiafoe Paul recently. Obviously, TP did it, Australian Open this year, semifinals. Roddick made four more finals after that. So let's start with the overarching question. How come over the past two decades, Chanda, no one has been able on the men's side to accomplish this?
You know, I think the first thing you have to look at is the four guys that have kind of had a lock on things. Mm-hmm. The three in particular, when you look at Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray even, you know, it's been tough for anybody to break through. And even for Andy Roddick, that one U.S. Open, I mean, that was hard to come by. He made additional finals, couldn't quite get over the line because of Roger Federer in a number of cases. I mean, it's just been tough. It's been a tough couple of decades when you consider how difficult it has been for anybody to break through. I think the guys coming up have a real opportunity now, certainly gaining the confidence, the experience, all of those things. And to have an example like Andy Roddick, who did accomplish it, I mean, that's got to give them some motivation as well. And I think it's good that they're pushing each other. So a lot of things have to come together to win a major. It's hard. It's tough to do.
It's not easy,
Steve.
John. It's not easy.
It's not easy. But I think, you know, that American tennis is in a good place, American men's tennis, and they are poised, hopefully, to do some great things.
What's one theme we talk about all the time here? Tennis as this relentlessly global sport, and we have Tunisians in the top 10, and we have Serbs playing, you know, players from South America. The denominator has changed in tennis, and this used to be a sport dominated by Americans and Australians and Brits and some outliers, and that's not the case anymore. So I feel like we need to sort of shift our thinking to this globalized world. I mean, this is, you know, General Motors does not dominate auto sales the way it did in the 1950s. Why? Because other players are entering the market. So I don't know. I mean, there are two players from the United States in the top 10. We saw a lot of semifinals even within the last year. We've got to get what happened in 1960 70 and 80 out of our head and sort of adjust our math for the current climate in tennis, I think.
All right, let's take a look, because we got five American men still alive in the third round of this year's U.S. Open. Look at the bottom half of the draw where we find a few of them there.
Yeah, and look, we talk about this a lot. You see Taylor and Tommy Paul and Tiafoe all top 10 or thereabouts. And then you also have Ben Shelton in there as well. And they all have great opportunities, and they're coming along in an era that is starting to show glimpses of opportunity. Just glimpses, with a couple of the big three not around. And Novak Djokovic is at some point going to slow down. So there is an opportunity. Look, it's very simple. We become a product of our environment. Okay, and before Andy Roddick, it was Sampras and Agassi and Michael Chang and Jim. And everyone was like, well, why does Andy only win one? Yeah. You know, then that was a problem. Right. Andy only won one because they were used to that. And so you become a product of the environment. It's been a rough go of it. Things are cyclical. I believe that really in my heart of hearts. And John, you're right. It's a global endeavor now. And right now with those names that we just saw, those guys will create opportunity. And it's going to be up to them to convert. But what we can't do is live in the past. We should enjoy the past, use that for the legends that we've had. And hopefully these guys will get out there and give themselves a chance to hold up one of those big trophies.
All right, Paul, I'm going to come back to you, because as one of the main guys on Taylor Fritz's coaching team, make the case for Taylor Fritz to break this streak.
He absolutely has a chance. Look, Mike Russell does such a great job, day-to-day stuff with him over 30 weeks a year, and Wolfgang Oswald's a great physio, keeps him fit and healthy. This kid is a special player, and mostly between the ears. He is one of the best mental players I've been around throughout my career. He has the innate mental skills, which I think are paramount to being able to win a major. Physically, he has a game that can be streamlined and simplified. He's got to trust it, and the biggest thing about great players is they know what to do under pressure and they trust it. And that he is learning. He's getting better. The biggest theme for me is last year, Taylor Fritz got to be top 10 in the world, not by becoming better player, he became a better average player. What I mean by that, his average level got to a new height, and that's the difference, and that difference will get you an opportunity to win a major at some point.
One of the best mental players you've ever been around. That says a lot with the guys that you've been around, Pete Sampras, Roger Federer. All right, Francis Tiafoe, last year at the U.S. Open, huge run, made the Final Four. Make the case for Big Foe to break this streak, Chanda.
You know, I think a player that's going to break through, they've got to play a very physical style of tennis, and they've got to play it with confidence, but also with some consistency. And I think that's one of the things that has changed in the Francis Tiafoe game. When he's not, you know, playing lights out CBS tennis, he's playing, you know, controlled, aggressive tennis out there, using all of his weapons. That's not easy to do, match in and match out over the course of a major. It's also not easy to do against, you know, these, you know, all-time great players. Mm-hmm. He was able to do it against Nadal. I think it's a lot tougher when you look at trying to do that against Novak Djokovic and players like that. But I think he can. I think he does have that ability. But I think that's going to be the key for any one of these players to be able to break through. You got to play that physical brand of tennis, like a Stan Wawrinka, like a Del Potro, who were able to get those major titles, a Marin Cilic even, who has the big weapon in the serve and, you know, the power off the ground. So I think that's the kind of tennis they've got to be able to play, but consistently in the big moments.
And the last thing, let me just tag that. Remember, a few years ago, you had to beat two or three of those guys to win a major. A little different right now.
Well, now you got to be Carlos Alcaraz, though.
Carlos Alcaraz is great, but he's not those guys yet.
Right. Not yet. Right. But none of those guys got to number one in the world as a teenager either. So, he brings some pretty special stuff 100%. To the table. John, Tommy Paul is right on the verge of the top 10 right now. Live ranking is 11 in the world. Make the case for TP to break this streak and win a major.
On that list of American semifinalists, what was the most recent name? It was Tommy Paul. The athleticism is probably the first thing you point to. This is also someone who's quietly won an awful lot of matches. You have to think, you know, winning begets winning. I want to go back to something you said, though. How much of this breaking through is kill shots and weapons and serve percentages and forehands and backhands? And how much of this is managing your body, managing the moment, these elements of professionalism that I always thought the big three didn't get enough credit for? But how much of this is the actual tennis, and how much of this is something that's much more sort of less tangible?
75-25 between the ears, in my opinion, at that level.
That's a big difference.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Well, and it gives hope to people to handle it well.
Absolutely. By the way, Ben Shelton, Michael Moe, also still in the draw in the third round. Opportunities to break this two-decade streak. Andy Roddick, our guy, the last one on the men's side to win a singles trophy for the USA. Back with more TC Live after this. The Tennis Shop, powered by Tennis Point, is the new online store featuring the latest apparel and equipment. Scan this QR code or visit tennisshop.com today to search a wide selection of brands and get the same gear as your favorite pros. We saw Tommy Paul coming on site earlier today. Now, TP is getting that little workout in before he takes the court. Franco Herrero, his strength and conditioning coach, has been watching TC Live. He put it on his IG story. He has done a great job with Tommy Paul, getting him in incredible shape.
Look at the camera as well. The U.S. Open allowing players a lot more latitude this year, I'm told, with their own video projects.
Potentially a little Netflix as well. Last year's runner-up, Ol Jabeur, in a battle with Czech teenager Linda Noskova, Chandler.
And this turned out to be an incredible match. High-quality tennis there on her third set point. Jabeur able to get it done, playing bold tennis right at the end. In the second set, though, Noskova, she would fight back, got the early break, and did not let up. Able to take it to a third with this set point, the miss from Jabeur. And Noskova, she's a player on the rise, a young player that's going to do some big things if she's able to stay healthy. She gave Jabeur everything she could handle in this match. Jabeur had to raise her level, and that's good for a player who has her sights on getting to another major final. This was an incredible battle, and Jabeur impressive down the stretch.
Had 17 more winners. Gets another check. Marie Boskova next. That warrior spirit from Ange Jabeur on the men's side. 2016 champ Stan Wawrinka in a rematch from Wimbledon fall against Thomas Martin Echeverry.
He sure was, and it was a grind out there. Stan Wawrinka style, 3 hours and 40 minutes. These guys were just going back and forth. Look at the first two set scoreline, guys. Stan up at the net, gets passed, and loses that second set. And Stan being Stan says, you know what? I'm going to embrace the battle, and let's see what this young buck at seed number 30 has for me. And fourth, third and fourth sets, Stan Wawrinka played power tennis, back to the court, beautiful one-hander down the line, comes in to close and finish. Got more confident as the match went on, and when Stan Wawrinka is feeling comfortable coming forward, using that big serve, finger to the head, thinking his way through. Always good to see him win, and that is a heck of an effort. And off he goes to Pogonic Sinner. That's going to be a fun one.
Big ball striking. How about Jack Draper? He was out 3 months with a shoulder injury. Injuries always feel better when you win, John, especially against a top 20 player.
Yeah, Jack Draper has so much game. Big kid, lefties. Only four aces, but a great serve and little trouble yesterday with Hurkacz. Hubert Hurkacz lost a lot of close matches this year. This was not a close match. I wonder if he isn't one of these players. He intimated that he was suffering from some of this, the sickness that's going around. He clearly wasn't fully 100%, but full credit. Paul, you know Jack Draper, young prospect from the UK. Big kid.
Yep, his dad was my boss at the LTA. Met Jack when he was a little kid. Got to say hello to him at Indian Wells this year. I'm a huge fan of his game. Hope he can stay healthy, guys. He is a tremendous athlete with a lot of weapons and a heck of a nice guy.
Broke five times into the third round at this major for the second time. When we come back, will this be the slam where Sofia Kenin regains her championship form? And we'll preview today's most unlikely third round match between Jen Brady and Caroline Wozniacki. Plus a warm and fuzzy visit. We got a lot of TP in the show. A lot of love for Tommy Paul. He's getting warm and fuzzy with Michael Costa. Back on TC Live at the U.S. Open. Look who's coming on site. Don't call her Jennifer. Jenny Brady. Jennifer. Naomi Osaka
Jenny
found that
block.
Out.
Good to see you back, Jen Brady.
It is good to see Jen Brady. It could be Jen. It could be Jenny. But Osaka said congrats to Jennifer.
Who was she talking about? Not Brady.
Nah, clearly not. The finalist at the Australian
Look at
Open.
Those flags.
A lot of stars and stripes.
Second from the bottom. Can we give Bernarda Pera, lefty, a little credit here? Playing Ostapenko. There she is. Thank you for the highlight. We haven't talked about her enough. She's had two very nice wins.
Absolutely.
And good opportunity. Shot of an upset. Yeah, exactly. Real opportunity.
Now we have.
There
Look
are.
At that.
Good.
We're all caught up. With
we're
all
working
the,
together
with,
here. I love it.
Wow. I like with the all the highlight. Americans.
The para highlight I like. Nice touch. But a lot of Americans in action.
Was that not the Ostapenko highlight?
Yeah, exactly.
The para highlight. All right. Here are some big results from yesterday. We start with the youngster, the teenager, the 19-year-old Alex Mickelson, having the summer of his dreams, looking to crack the top 100 ball, but ran into a tough matchup with the Chilean, Nicolas Jarry.
Yeah, keep your eyes on Alex. He's a heck of a player. Really a tremendous two-handed backhand. Great ground strokes. We saw him in Newport just spring onto the scene this summer. Won that first set, but Nico Jarry, just a lot of firepower. Big serve, huge forehand. Able to dictate and able to hit the reset button, which is hard to do against a young player that you don't know. But for Alex Mickelson, just the beginning of a new chapter in his life. And for this man, he's done a great job springing back onto the scene. Played a great second, third, and fourth set. Just too much power for the young American. But what a great job for Alex Mickelson to get into the U.S. Open. His ranking is right around 100-ish, a little north of 100. Not quite there yet, but climbing up. And Nicolas Jarry is moving on.
Yeah, it'll be when, not if. Alex Mickelson cracks that top 100. Speaking of getting fast inside the top 50, former Texas star Peyton Stearns, new career highs almost every week, Chan. An impressive showing against Clara Tawson.
Yeah, she has been impressive this year. Since getting her first WTA Tour win, she has been racking up the W's, and it's the aggressive play. It's the clear-headedness that she has in big moments. She's an athletic player, good mover around the court. but she was also hitting big and getting into the right position. She had 26 winners over the course of this match, just 14 unforced errors. Those are incredible numbers for an aggressive player, and it got the job done in straightforward fashion.
We're working with Eric Heckman, Peyton Stearns, Hook'em Horns. Moving on to the next round, Madison Keys. He's been kind of flying under the radar in New York, I would say, Chanda. Just kind of taking care of business. Yesterday it was Yanina Wickmeyer.
Yeah, under the radar seems to be working for Madison Keys. And when you've got a game as big as hers, are you ever really under the radar? I mean, she was firing winners off both sides, but she's playing more measured tennis. I mean, we're seeing bigger margins, well away from the lines, well away from the baseline. She had an incredible serving day as well, Keys. And the forehand as the big weapon. Talk about winners. 20 winners, four of those included aces from the Keys racket, and there was just nowhere for Wickmeyer to go to.
Former finalist, round by round, working her way through the draw here in New York City. And how about the last American to win a singles title at a Grand Slam? Sophia Kenin facing Daria Kazatkina. John, good start for Kenin.
It was. Chanda predicted this match would be won by the player in their mid-20s who was born in Russia. And she was correct. Nice start for Kenin. Remember, Kenin beat Coco Gauff at the previous major, so this is a player who's playing herself back to form. She got into the main draw on her own, didn't need a wild card after seeing her ranking dip, and she was right in this match. This was a battle, probably redundant when we say Kenin's name. That's how she plays, but Kazatkina makes a nice comeback in the second set, and this stayed tight. Look at the time of match. We're already over 2 hours here. Kazatkina has so much variety. What she lacks in weapons and the lack of a serve, she makes up for in her way around the court. And just a little bit better on the big points yesterday. Kazatkina seeded 13 in the running for the year-end championships, wherever they may be. And she got a little closer with a nice battle win yesterday over Kenin. 6-4 in the third.
Chanda, did you really say that?
I wish I was witty enough to think about it.
Putting words in your mouth again. I mean, come on.
You got it right. You were correct.
We've got Wertheim's stat of the day later. We've got a hot shot from Andy Murray, and we'll break down all the big matches. Paul's going to talk about that hot shot because it was something special. Back on TC Live with a look at our featured matches. Tommy Paul first up inside Arthur Ashe Stadium, followed by a couple women on the comeback, Jen Brady and Caroline Wozniacki. The night session starts with Coco Gauff and ends with Novak Djokovic. Over on Louis Armstrong, Taylor Townsend can get back in the top 100 with a victory. Top seed Iga Świątek faces her best friend on tour. And the top two American men going back-to-back, Francis Tiafoe ending the day session. Taylor Fritz kicking off the night session with Elena Rybakina up last. Well, time now for our hot shot of the day, Paul Anacone. It comes from Andy Murray, Grigor Dimitrov. What a point this was.
Oh, this game lasted about a month and a half. 2-0 in the first set. Watch this get from Murray. Unbelievable. Goes around. I love the fact that he just kind of sidesteps in that post.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, the little racket tap was nice, but look at the wheel. Still great first set. This guy has such unbelievable hands. I don't think we've even talked about that enough throughout his career. This is an amazing angle. Look at the get. Even with Grigor's wheels, can't get there. What a way to start our day as the hot shot of the day.
Right? That's special stuff. Right? I feel like since they did racket tap, we got to do a little dap right here. Nice. Well done, Paul.
I appreciate it.
And on a metal hip, he's got those wheels, right?
I'll tell you what, the guy's still amazing. When he comes up with stuff like that, you just have to tip the cap.
You really do. But as always, it's the loser of the match that gets the hot shot of the day. It is time now for our warm and fuzzy segment, Tommy Paul with Michael Costa.
Talk about how your family moved to a farm. Mm. What the hell is happening? You're a professional tennis player.
Yeah.
You play tennis on TV. You make millions of dollars. Your family moved to a farm recently?
I grew up in North Carolina.
Right.
My mom moved down here to South Florida with me when I was 15, and then she got remarried and moved up to South Jersey, where she's originally from and where I was born. She remarried into a farm. So now... Actually, when she got there, it wasn't really a farm, but I think maybe she watched a little too much Yellowstone and turned it into a farm.
How do you feel when you go up there and you see, there's animals, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was it we just had 8 sheep, and I think 2 more just came in, like, as in gave birth to 2 more on the farm. So,
wow.
Yeah, she's loving life right now.
Does that help you detach from tennis, watching a sheep give birth? I've never said that question before in my life.
Well, I never watched. I didn't watch.
That's awkward. I need to get one of those warm and fuzzy hoodies that Costa's rocking. You can see all of his great work on these segments at tennischannel.com. And coming up next, we get you ready for day 5 with all the big highlights and match previews. Keep it close. John Paul and Steve back on TC Live, leading you up to first ball on the first Friday in New York City at the U.S. Open. John Lloyd Harris used to train for the clay season at the Ferrero Academy, hit with a 15-year-old Carlos Alcaraz, said he was already hitting the forehand way bigger than me and was like, this is problematic. The problems have gotten bigger 5 years later.
Yeah, this looked like a practice session with one player having bigger strokes than the other. Lloyd Harris, making a return from injury. Very nice player, but not in Carlo Alcaraz's league. And Carlos did not get through a first complete match in his first round. He gave the fans a good show. This was pretty much the Carlos show in the big house. This is the defending champion, the winner of the previous major. We got a sense why. Third set got a little bit closer. Credit Harris for really deciding to go blow for blow and take some high-risk shots. Not a lot of reward to show for it, though.
So you're saying Carlos,
yeah, exactly. The third set was, you know what, I'm just loading up haymakers. Nice win for Carlos, and on he rolls.
Into the third round without dropping a set, faces Dan Evans next. But playing for the first time in 7 years, Andy Murray and Grigor Dimitrov produced a different result than usual, Chanda. It was Dimitrov playing real clean tennis.
Yeah, Dimitrov had to save match points in his first round, had to win it in a fifth set match tiebreak. He thought he might be a little sluggish, a little slow out there, but it was Andy Murray who was just behind often in this match, but he had some greatness on display. That was one of the moments for Andy Murray. In one of the longest games of the first set, they'd have another long one at 2-all. That first set was an hour and 12 minutes long, just about, and it was 6-3. But Dimitrov just continued that aggressive play inside the baseline, stepping in, using the forehand. He's got so many shots, a beautiful player to watch, and he put it all together perfectly against Murray, doing it off the backhand slice there, passing. And there was just nowhere for Murray to go to. He really struggled on second serves as well. And in the end, it was straight sets for Dimitrov.
Yeah, broke serve 7 times, got his 4th win against Andy Murray. Alexander Zverev awaits in the third round. John Isner, he was the best American tennis player for most of Michael Moe's teenage years. And that would also be the case, Paul, for the first 2 sets of this match.
Yeah, I told you guys in the opening I was nostalgic yesterday, and this was the king of nostalgia for me, watching big John Isner go out there what turned out to be for his last singles match. Started off playing some great John Isner power tennis, used the big forehand, the serve is always on fire. But look at Michael Moe, really did a heck of a job after losing the first 2 sets. Didn't blink, hung in there, won the 3rd and 4th set. And here we go into war zone time for John Isner. We've seen so many tie breaks, and I'll tell you what, right there, match point, and that was a sad one to see go against John Isner if you're in his camp. Off they go to the match tie break in the 5th set, and Michael Moe, he just did a heck of a job. That's a tough, tough solution to come up with against someone like this who could be their last match, someone you grew up watching. Great day for Michael Moe. Sad day for the big man. Thanks, John. Appreciate all your efforts.
Let's hear from John Isner one more time.
You know, this is why I've worked as hard as I have my whole life to, you know, play in atmospheres like this. And, of course, I may not win them all. As we know, just like today, but to play in this crowd and in front of this crowd and have the support I had is pretty special, so thank you.
One more round of applause for the only John Isner.
And
added 48 more aces yesterday to finish with a record 14,170 for his career. Incredible. That's a nice number to kind of finish at. The 16 career titles, got to 8 in the world, played 2 of the longest matches we have ever seen. And fate would have it that his career ends in a 5th set tiebreak. He says he wants to be remembered as a guy that was easy to get along with off court. Chanda, what do you think John Isner's lasting legacy is?
I think it's the consistency of his career, certainly. I mean, he had the big weapon, one of the best serves in tennis history, to be honest. But overall, it was the sum total of his game. He wasn't just a server. You know, he wasn't just a one-shot guy. He could really... get into these extended rallies. He understood how to play to his strengths, especially deep in the teeth of matches. And you look at that consistency, top 20 for a decade, yeah, finishing inside the top 20. That is not easy to do. Top 10 multiple times in his career, and really carried the American flag. Was such an example and such an inspiration for the young players we're seeing now coming up. It's a tremendous career, and nice to see it end at the U.S. Open. You thought he might be able to make a little bit of a run, but Michael Moe, just a terrific match with everything that was on the line. But credit to John Isner.
I'd love to see him have a big tournament. It was a little bit of bittersweet to watch him lose, but in typical John Isner fashion, match tiebreak in the 5th set. I mean, the guy has done so much for American tennis. I mean, nearly 850 tiebreaks played, winning 60% of them. I mean, that's just incredible. Chanda, you talk about his 10 years in a row in the top 20. That is an amazing, amazing effort. This guy is one of the nicest guys that has ever laced it up on the courts. Everyone loves him in the locker room. Carefree, happy-go-lucky guy. We talk about his serve, but one of the most amazing things about John Isner's serve, as big as it is, he served nearly 70% first serves for his entire career. That is off the charts. I mean, sure, he is height-aided, but he has one of the cleanest, if not the cleanest, service motions and probably the greatest pure just serve that's ever played the game. So, John, congratulations. Have a great time with your family. You've earned it, and we're going to miss you.
For a guy who never won a major, probably not a Hall of Famer, this guy had an immense impact on the sport. I mean, no one's going to hit 14,000 plus aces. So that's one record he holds. He lost in the match tiebreak. Why are we playing match tiebreaks? In part because John Isner's had a big impact on tennis in that respect. Nobody's ever going to win a match 70-68 in the 5th set again. This guy holds two records that are never going to be touched. We talk a lot about the serve. That's the first thing you think of. But like Chanda said, I mean, you don't get to be in the top 20 for more than a decade just with this bazooka hitting serves. I mean, there's professionalism, there's getting that body in shape, there's hanging from the baseline in rallies, as you say. This, I think, was, as much as we know about John, he stands out literally kind of a sneaky good career. I mean, this is a guy who really contributed a lot to the sport.
Be proud.
It's good
career.
Bordering on amazing great. We absolutely salute you, John, on that incredible career. One of the most loved guys on tour. Wish you all the best in retirement. More highlights on the women's side. Aryna Sabalenka in action. More winners than anyone on the WTA this year. Added nearly 30 more, Paul, against Jody Burrage.
Do I dare say that Jody faced a barrage of winners from Sabalenka yesterday?
See what you
is that
there.
A little wordsmithing?
Barrage against Burrage.
There
right?
you go. Play. But I tell you what, Sabalenka once again showed us just how good she is when she gets a little bit of time and she can unleash the power of groundies. The big lead in the first set gave her some liberty to even get more aggressive. Look at the two-handed return there out of the left hip pocket. And as Sabalenka gets more confident, I think that is worrisome for the rest of the women's field. I think she was a little more nervous in the first match, seemed more free yesterday, and we saw it by the way she played 3-2 in a comprehensive offensive exhibition.
Asked about her power. She said, we got to ask my fitness coach. Too much weightlifting, maybe? Prakash is going to love to hear that. Jessie Pegula looking to reach the third round for the third straight year, facing one of the 5 remaining mothers in the draw, Chanda, Patricia Maria Teague.
Well, Jessie Pegula, she was unfazed by the struggles with nap time. She was like, I'm coming up here. I'm going to take care of business. And she did that from the beginning. Pegula, so solid from the ground. But it was the way she moved the ball. Teague can be dangerous if she has time and if she can set up on balance. Pegula did not allow her to do that.
using the backhand to get forward inside the court. These are good moves that Pegula will need as she moves through the draw. But in the match last night, she was not troubled at all. Again, just a solid performance from Pegula. We're so used to saying that she's so consistent, but it's not easy to get it done match in and match out, and she continues her move forward.
Yeah, feeling comfortable inside that big stadium. 60th hard court win since last year. Sets up a third-round match with Alina Svitolina. Still to come, Daniil Medvedev has been the king of the hill, top of the heap in New York before, and he woke up today with some new history. We'll tell you about it next.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back. A reminder to download the U.S. Open app to follow your favorite players, track the latest scores, stats, match highlights, player news, and much more. It is available in the App Store and Google Play Store. Back to the highlights from yesterday. 2021 champ Daniil Medvedev has his work night carry over into Friday morning, Paul, yep, playing Christopher O'Connell.
You sure did. It was a late evening, and for Medvedev, he did what he usually does. First two set, great target player is Medvedev, the terrific movement. O'Connell does everything pretty well, nothing great. And Medvedev trying to get all his friends in New York on his side to start the tournament. And we know that that wasn't the way it was in the past. Likes a little bit of irreverence, does Daniil. But he got his irreverence in this third set. How about O'Connell just hanging in there, using some athleticism to steal the third set. But Medvedev gets the early break in the fourth, continues to play really well from the back of the court. And when Medvedev decides to come forward and does it like that from a position of strength, adds another element, which is really tough to deal with. So a terrific reset for Medvedev in the fourth. Just a couple words for some folks to say. I think that was all about.
Becomes the only man under 30 to get 250 hard court wins. Congratulations. Times for the Gems Life portion of our highlights. Unfortunately for them, only one would survive the second round, John. Gael Monfils playing Andre Rublev.
Yeah, spoiler, this was not the victorious member. Paul likes to say you don't serve more than 50% in a match. It's going to be hard to win. Guess what? 49% first serves for Gael. That was pretty much emblematic of how his day went. We thought this would be more of a competitive match. What do we say about players north of 35? It's really more than anything the consistency that can be elusive. And Gael, for the first 90 minutes or so of this match, really struggled, was broken early in both sets. Made things a little interesting in the third, found his range a little bit, got the crowd involved. The crowd wanted an opportunity to really rally behind him, but Rublev squelched that, ran away with the fourth set. Two breaks, and this one, nice win for Rublev, a bit of a disappointment for Gael.
Third round for the fifth straight year for the Russian. Monfils will now have more time to watch his wife play, and in fact, during a changeover, Alina Svitolina actually asked the chair umpire if Monfils had started his match, said she was looking for some different energy, Chanda, against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
Yeah, Pavlyuchenkova got off to an excellent start. She's such a big hitter from the ground, and the forehand was working there, allowing Pavlyuchenkova to take that first set. But Svitolina, she battles. She doesn't go away. She's got the movement, the wheels around the court, and that keeps her in just about any match. And she's also getting more aggressive inside the court there, up at the net, using the drop shot. She got that second set tucked away, and on to a third they would go. Love these battles where players are so familiar with each other. The matchups go way back. but they are playing some of their best tennis. And in the end, it was an aggressive Svitolina, the ace on match point. It is a new day, and she moves through beautifully.
She does, and it's going to be a popcorn match in the next one against Jessie Pegula. Really looking forward to that one. I'm going to say it every time that Alina Svitolina wins, just how remarkable and superhuman her story is, the fact that she had a baby in October and is now back to 25 in the world, got to the quarterfinals of one major, the semifinals of another, and it's just like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too. I mean, she played a Russian opponent yesterday. There was no handshake, a reminder. Her country was invaded and still is being invaded 18 months later. This has been a very happy yet traumatic. I mean, the swirl of emotions she must be overcoming to play this well, I think, is something we're not talking about enough.
Yeah, I just think for her to be able to manage all of that stuff, right, all the internal great personal things that have gone on in her life, plus the internal very difficult things, like you mentioned, John, how do you manage that and then focus on a tennis court under a microscope like this? And, oh, by the way, I think she's getting better, too. She's getting more offensive. She's learning and getting more comfortable coming forward to finish. She's doing so many things that have been amazing to me. She just continues just to bewilder me with her ability to juggle all this stuff.
It's incredible. I mean, think about it. She was in a boot as well, a couple of weeks ago? I mean, it's incredible what she's been able to do. And the mindset, that's what seems, you know, especially, noteworthy. She's aggressive. She's attacking forehands. She is aggressive with the footwork, looking to move in. I think that's very good things for her game.
All right, tomorrow we will break down that matchup against Jessie Pegula. Let's talk about some big matches going on today, starting with Coco Gauff and Elisa Mertens. John, Mertens has had to save multiple match points in both of her previous matches this tournament. What challenges does she present for Coco Gauff?
She's a very steady player. She's a veteran player. Clearly, there's some mental strength having won her first two matches, overcoming match point. I'm not sure she has the kill shots, the weapons to do much damage against Coco. Remember, that match was against Danielle Collins. I think Coco may have breathed a sigh of relief. Collins is a different type of opponent. They played twice before. Coco's won both. I think she's a pretty heavy fit. I don't think Elise Mertens will be saving match points for a third straight match, Steve.
All right.
Yeah, this will be the first time they're playing on the hard courts, and I think that's the best surface for Elisa Mertens. But, you know, Gauff, with the weapons that she's been deploying, how she's been playing, the mindset she's had, especially off the forehand, that's been a big weapon now for Gauff, and I think that will freeze Mertens a lot of times. Mertens is a great mover, you know, anticipates well, but it's not easy to defend against shots when you have a speedy opponent, plus they are keeping you a bit off balance. I think that's going to be the key for Gauff. It's going to be a tougher matchup for Mertens from that standpoint. But she's so solid. She's so experienced. So this isn't a match that Gauff can take for granted.
Coco going for her eighth straight win. Meantime, Novak Djokovic, he's only dropped 11 games in the first two rounds, taking on fellow Serbian Laszlo Jara. Last time they played, took a set off of Novak. What are the chances that could happen again today?
He could take a set. He could take a set, but he's still going to come in second. He could take a set. And Novak has been locked in. I mean, he's so much fun to watch because he's so proficient and efficient. I mean, you just watch him play, and the shot selection, the ability to defend and then turn it to offense so quickly, it never ceases to amaze me how good he is at it and how comfortable he is. I think this is just too tough of a matchup. Over 3 out of 5 sets. 2 out of 3, maybe you get hot. 3 out of 5, unless Novak is not then I think it's all Novak Djokovic. Right,
3-time champ moving on, and then we got a couple players on the comeback. Caroline Wozniacki, Jen Brady. Real contrast in styles in this matchup, Chanda. So which one wins out? Is it Brady's power or is it Wozniacki's consistency?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the question. With Jen Brady, obviously the power game, you know, she can hit winners from anywhere in the court. How consistently can she do it against a player in Wozniacki who moves so well and has seemed to just pick right up where she left off early 2020, our last tournament before, you know, the last three events now that she's played. Brady playing her fourth event. I mean, both of these players facing different challenges, but I think they are playing in an inspired way for different reasons. And for Brady, she's got to bring the heat. She's got to serve well. She's got to look to step in and use those weapons, but still give herself margin. For Wozniacki, I mean, we know how well she can move, how well she can defend, but she also is doing a good job kind of transitioning from defense to offense. That's going to be key, and using her serve. That's a lot bigger weapon than we sometimes realize.
And it was a big weapon the other night. I mean, it's almost like we were talking about Svitolina. It looks like Caroline's come back as a more offensive player. I think both players are thrilled
thrilled to be here, and yet this is a real test. So is this a one-off, hey, I can beat a two-time major champion in Petra Kvitova, or if you're Jen Brady, I can win a three-set match? Or is this, whoa, I'm really into week two of a major. Can I back up a big win with another big win? I think whoever wins this match is really sort of resetting their entire set of expectations.
Yeah, 100%. It's a battle of the reset button, right? And what wins more efficiently, great offense or great defense in the reset button? That's going to be the challenge for Jen Brady. Can she hit through the defensive skills of Caroline Wozniacki? So for me, it's going to be about, again, offense versus defense. And because it's been a little bit for both of them, who plays the big points the best? So that's going to be fun to watch.
We always love a good contrast in styles. Brady, Wozniacki. We'll have those highlights for you tomorrow here on TC Live. It's the four of us, as always, 9 a.m. Eastern, leading you up to first ball. ESPN, noon Eastern. The night session begins at 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN2. More TC Live at the U.S. Open after a quick break. Welcome back. Look who has made it all the way to the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. Caroline Wozniacki and team. Mom, Dad, David Lee in the house. She doesn't roll too deep. No kids, though.
Yeah, where are the kids? Exactly.
Olivia says she wants to come to work. Take her to work. We've got the three to see that Steve Tigner provides every single day on tennis.com. Some big ones today.
More TP on
how many Americans does he call? How many?
Two of the three he called today.
Ooh.
And you may be surprised which ones.
You want to guess? Shannon, what
called,
do you think?
He called Brady and
Paul.
Yeah.
Paul.
No. Tomorrow on TC Live, a real story of inspiration. How Tennis Behind Bars is providing hope for inmates at San Quentin. Definitely a feature you don't want to miss. This is a special one. John, they sent you all the way to jail for this.
Columbus, Ohio? Or oh, I see what you're
John saying. Did not get this
I
assignment.
I did not get this assignment, no.
Brian Brothers great, is part story, of this though. As well.
It's
one of the best ones I've watched. Glad Huska sent that to me last night, so I was able to watch it.
Oh, hey,
time to enter the social net. Look who's there. He's at a Swiss track meet in Zurich.
Is that his girls? I can't quite tell from the side view.
Yeah, it's maybe a little daddy-daughter
so
time.
Bad.
I love it.
Zurich track meet.
Yeah.
15 years after winning the U.S. Open. This is how he spends his Labor Day weekend. Come on, Rod.
He loves all sports, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is the hurdles, I think. That's it. I mean, you got to love the hurdles. How difficult is that to do? I can't imagine.
Does he come back if Dominic Stricker or Stan reaches week two? Discuss. Good to see Roger.
I would say no. Yeah. I think he's staying with the daughters and hanging out, doing whatever he wants with all of his time. Reminder, the newly enhanced USOpenShop.org is the official shop for 2023 U.S. Open merchandise. Get U.S. Open gear for the entire family. Check out a variety of one-of-a-kind U.S. Open accessories as well. Visit USOpenShop.org today. When we come back, we are previewing the best matches of this Friday.
TC Live at the U.S. Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Express. We deliver tennis right to your front door. Order today, ships today.
It is time for people, stars in the stands. Who was showing up yesterday, John? You saw Alec Baldwin behind the star that we pointed out. And today, he's front and center.
Mira Sharapova, right? There's Alec Baldwin. He's a regular in the USTA box with his wife, Ilaria. I don't know who's behind them. I'm sure it's someone lovely and prominent as well.
At least lovely. And then, you know who's in the room where it happens? That
there
guy, Lin-Manuel Miranda and his wife.
Vanessa Nadal. Any chance that might be...
Yeah, there's a chance.
Any Mallorcan blood. By the way, speaking of the two of them, you want pure entertainment. Yes. Digression.
Yes.
Google Lin-Manuel Miranda and Fiddler on the Roof wedding toast. It is one of the all-time great sort of wedding toast slash flash mobs.
Okay.
As long as we have the couple there, we may as well give people fun little.
He participated in that?
He participated.
Okay.
Good entertainment.
Stands.
I love that.
Some entertainment value out of that. I like it.
For more stars in the stands, visit people.com and go Google and YouTube whatever John just told you about.
Is that the stat of the day that John just
said? I don't think so. What is the stat of the day? Oh, man. Usually, I like to come up with these on my own, but I stumbled across this one on an account at Vaunch, who you can all follow. So I took this from him, but it's great. All credit to him for finding this. So here's Stan Wawrinka. He's 38 years old, and here is Mencich. Am I pronouncing that right? If not, he's 17 years old as of yesterday. So we've got plenty of time to get to know him. He plays Taylor Fritz today. Anyway, these two gentlemen, both still in the draw, they are separated by more than 20 years. And that
what's
span
the record?
Of time, that's some, actually, what's that?
What's the record? We got. Is there a record? Do we know the record?
High versus low?
Yeah. That's 20 years.
To play each other or that are just in the draw?
Like, yeah, 20 years.
Got to be more than that. I would say more than that.
Jordan.
Venus Williams, Mira Andreeva. Yeah, I mean, that's
right?
43-16. But that 20 years, that's a bigger
that's
spot
knocking
of time.
On the door. That's
bigger
knocking on the door.
That's, I mean. Larger than Carlos has been alive.
That's the payoff.
20 years, 157 days. That is a bigger block of time than the age of Carlos Alcaraz, the defending champion. I like that one. All credit, Ivanch, for pointing that out.
Yeah.
I like it.
It took a while to get to the punchline.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was the build-up scene,
we messed it up because we were talking
back. I messed everything up.
So. Old guy, young guy,
Carlos Alcaraz.
Comes together.
We love tennis.
We do love tennis. We love the matchups that we have today.
Ooh.
Taylor Townsend, Carolina Muchova, two players with the hands at net that can just
talent.
Do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Well, what does Taylor need to do to make it to the fourth round for the second time at the U.S. Open?
You know, I think because they play so similarly in terms of their skill set, I think for Taylor Townsend, she's just got to be a little more dynamic. I think she can be a little more aggressive on returns. That may be some opportunities, especially on the move of a second serve, return and get in and just push the envelope a little bit more, maybe get some opportunities and some break point, generate some break points. I also think she's got to serve well, and I've been seeing Taylor Townsend this event really use her leftiness even more. I mean, she's getting that little extra side spin. She's going down the tee beautifully, switching it up out wide. That's going to be an advantage as well.
And use the crowd. I mean, she was so pumped up
that's
in that
it.
Last match.
Yeah.
That U.S. Open crowd is going to get behind Taylor Townsend. Francis Tiafoe, we all know the crowd is going to be behind Big Foe at all times, taking on Adrian Mannarino. Tricky lefty, Mannarino 0-20 against top 10 guys at majors, as we see Big Foe walking in right
there
behind
he is.
Us. He's got his Beats by Dre. Still waiting, Foe, for, that gift package.
There he is.
What do you make of this
matchup?
He's
sending it to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that Francis is prohibitive favorite. I think he's going to be too solid. And talk about getting the crowd into it. That's what he's going to do.
A little danger meter. The lefty, Mannarino, is 35 years old, but actually has won a tournament in North America. This summer, one Newport, different surface, but Francis will be the favorite, but Mannarino, danger.
Yeah.
All right. Looking forward to all these matches. We will have the highlights for you tomorrow right here on TC Live. We hope that wherever you go for your holiday weekend, that we're a part of that here because the U.S. Open continues. There is work to be done on Labor Day weekend. TC Live back with it tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Enjoy the tennis, everybody.